as I get ready to start this sermon, I just want to tell you, jokes on belts, hardly any jokes on breastplates of righteousness, zero, but jokes on shoes, oh, you get a lot. So the first one goes like this. If the shoe fits, what would you say? Oh, that's wrong. If the shoe fits, buy it in every color. I know some of y'all do this. All right, more shoe jokes. What happens when you eat yeast and shoe polish? Every morning you rise and shine. That's the best line. Here we go. What do you call a shoe that looks like a banana? A slipper. Very good. And what shoes do secret agents wear? They wear sneakers. So, y'all got that. Okay, good, good. All right, so I gave those shoe jokes to you because the next item we're looking at in the armor of God are shoes. Just as a review, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus. So the original manuscripts have Ephesus. They recopied it, sent it out to the churches at large. Those manuscripts don't have a destination to them, because this letter is a Catholic letter, intended to reach every person. It's universal in nature. It talks about relationships. Relationships we have with other humans, like spouses, like children, like parents, like employer. It talks all about that. But then there's a different level of relationship we have to those items that we need to function in this world today, such as, what's your relationship with truth? And it talks about putting on truth like you'd put on a belt that goes around the core of your being, because we need truth to be able to function. Part of the concept of truth is that we need it in order to know what direction to go. Without truth, we can go whichever way the world tells us. We could be right, we could be wrong, we wouldn't know, because guess what? We don't know the truth. So we need truth around the core of who we are to keep on the path of where God would have us go. And then we need this breastplate, this item that covers our heart. It's for protection purposes, because many times in our world today, there's the shift. This is what's right, this is what's wrong, but wait a second, the culture before us had it exactly the opposite. And so we put on the breastplate so that we can know God's way, and then we follow it. Because when we follow God's way of rightness, then we're literally in with God, resting in who God is. The amazing thing, the Apostle Paul gave us this analogy in this Catholic letter so that we could understand, but he used the armor of the centurion. The centurion was known for many things. In fact, in the history of the Roman Empire, that's a book, they were known for a variety of items. I'd like to lift this up to you as to why the Apostle Paul would use that set of armor. Here's what it was written at one point. Centurions are required not to be bold and adventurous so much as good leaders of steady and prudent mind, not proved to take the offensive or start fighting wantonly, but able when overwhelmed and hard-pressed to stand fast and die at their post. Now, interestingly enough, Paul's viewpoint of what we Christians are due are the admirable parts of the centurion. Because, folks, there are times in which we're called to stand when we're overwhelmed. When life is pressing down upon us, we're to stand firm, even when it means that we feel like we're withering away. Part of the reason why the centurion did this is the promise brought to them. They had a duty. That's why they did it. They were promised that if they survived at the end of their career, they would be taken care of the rest of their life, and many of them had great homes. And thirdly, they did it because they were standing with fellow soldiers. How well that applies to us. We're stand firm because it's our duty as Christians. God's called us to be the light in this world. We're able to stand firm because there is a promise of a better country coming, as C.S. Lewis called it. The better country being heaven. That we do have the promise of another world coming. So we don't have to cling on to this world as much, because we know another one is coming that's better. And the third item that fits the centurion, it fits us, is the sense that we do it together. Now, you all are the few because of the snow, but notice, we're still together. That we can stand when life becomes overwhelming, when it becomes hard-pressed, Even when you feel like we're about ready to fall apart, know that you have others who stand with you. This isn't us doing it alone. This is us doing it together. So the beauty of the centurion is it fits who we are. It fits what we do in this world today. Now, the next piece that Paul brought to us are shoes. Now, I Googled shoes. I have fun with this. I Googled what's out there in terms of shoes. Oh my goodness. There is a ton of items out there. And I know some of you love to have shoes on, some don't. The Apostle Paul, when he mentions shoes, when he mentions all these pieces of the armor that we're scheduled to put on, he uses the word of putting it on. You know, it's our responsibility to take it up and to put it on. It's our responsibility to utilize them. They're not to stay over there whenever we need them. Oh, no. We're to put them on and keep them on. Like, for instance, the belt. You're to carry truth everywhere you go. Even when it's uncomfortable to you. Because truth demands a response. That's the problem with truth. Once you know it, you either have to follow in line with it, or you have to make a conscious choice that you're going to ignore it. And that's either to your benefit, if you follow it, or to your detriment, if you ignore it. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, it guards our heart. On Facebook this week, there was a lot of, and I'm always amazed at how God works these out. My sermon's coming, I see these things, and on Facebook it was, what happens to your heart if? What happens to your life if? If you're angry, here's what happens. If you're upset, here's what happens. If you're sad, here's what happens. And what a pivotal truth that when we keep the breastplate on, we're guarding our heart because we will have a variety of emotions in life. And we know that when we live into those emotions, especially the negative ones, it not only has a spiritual impact on us, drawing us away from God, it has a physical impact on us because it damages our heart. And so when we live in God's rightness, following His truth, then we protect our spiritual heart. At the same time, we protect our physical heart. Because we know that when we protect our spiritual heart, we have less stress, which means less damage to our physical heart. Now, the shoes that we're called to put on, I wanted to find out what kind of shoes were mentioned in the scriptures, that we're to physically put them on. And so I thought, easy, I could find one Roman shoe, got it made, right? No, folks. If you Google in shoes, you are overwhelmed with the amount of shoes there are. I was shocked how many different kinds of shoes there are. In fact, there are shoes called a derby and moccasins. There are shoes called sneakers and cleats, sandals, and then my favorite two shoes, the kitten heel and the winkle picker. I'm like, there's no such shoe as a winkle picker. No. So I Googled, there is a winkle picker. Some of you may have them on. They were created back in the 50s in England. These are the shoes that the British rock stars, female and male, wore. And then their fans wore them, the winkle picker. Well, the shoes in the scriptures, interestingly enough, you Google shoes in scripture, you find there are times which you do have to take your shoes off when you walk on holy ground. Because Moses, when he saw the burning bush, the first thing spoken to him was, take off your sandals, for now you walk on holy ground. And how powerful that image, that God wants nothing separating us from the imminence of holiness into us, even if it's just shoes. And then John the Baptist came up with a shoe analogy. When you looked at Jesus, and Jesus was coming at him to be baptized, and John the Baptist said, look, here's the Lamb of God. He's so great, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Those are the shoe references we have in the scripture. And then we come to the one the Apostle Paul brought to us. That we're to put on what makes us ready to share the gospel. Now, he's not talking about sandals here. He's not talking about winkle pickers either, or even kitten heels. He's talking about what can you do in order to be ready for this which is in front of us. You see, we humans see another person in front of us and we forget Ephesians 6, 11, 12. You know what that says? Our battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and powers of this present darkness. We see a human in front of us. We can see the sin present in them. We make judgments based on that. And instead of making the judgments of, oh my goodness, there's a human being, I need to go rescue. Oh no, we make a judgment, the sin I hate. And I hate the sinner as well. We all do this. This is why we have to put on appropriate shoes, which allow us to walk into situations in which we can confront the sin, but not judge the sinner. In which we cannot be pulled into darkness, but rather we can live into the light. Instead of seeing the person as the one who's the evil thing, seeing the evil behind and within. That's why we have to put on shoes. The problem with this analogy is that many of us, when we see someone we disagree with, we put on one of two kinds of shoes. We either put on battle shoes or we put on running shoes. We put on battle shoes because we're ready to do battle. We're going to put that person in their place. We're going to take them down and we're going to show them the truth, ripping them apart, whatever needs to be done. You see a problem here? We've attacked the sin and the sinner. And we're more than willing to ruin them to make a point. The problem with that is, as the Apostle Paul mentioned to us, put on whatever makes you ready to share the gospel, not ready to win the battle. Because we may have won this battle with that person over that issue, but we haven't moved them anywhere closer to receiving the gospel. Anywhere closer to salvation. All we've done is one measly battle, of which we've not advanced the gospel one inch. This is one of the issues. Be careful what you put on, intending what you're going to do. Some of us, instead of doing battle, we put on sneakers, running shoes, we put on our track shoes, because we don't want to deal with the person who has we have the conflict with. You know what we want to do? We want to run away. We want to get away as fast as possible. If they enter the room, we leave it. If they're on one side of the street, we go to the other. If we know they're going to be there, we don't show up. That's putting on running shoes. And once again, we have the same issue. We've not advanced the gospel. Now, I do want to be clear that if the issue is sexual harassment, if the issue is bullying, yeah, you get out of that. We all get that. But if it's because we have a conflict over some issue, we don't run away. We present the gospel. We present a deep way of how to deal with conflict so that we're both going closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, some of the Apostle Paul said, what do you put on? You put on your sandals that allow you to see other people the way God sees them. See, God doesn't see other people as, oh. No, God sees them with value. Because God made all of us, those of us in the room, those who are out there, and those that you don't like, God made all of us with the same image, according to His likeness, with the stamp of who He is on all of us. And so this now changes how we look at a person when we see them crafted by God. Yes, they may have been damaged by life. Yes, they may have deep darkness within them, but they all have value. So then what we put on are different kind of shoes, the shoes that present the gospel. And the Apostle Paul made it clear that when we approach a person, we approach with the most powerful tool, not the sword to condemn them. We approach them with love. That's the kind of shoes we're to put on. The love that means that we love God with every bit of who we are, mind, soul, body, and strength. And we love others because they have value. Now, if we take the one piece out and say, you know what, that person doesn't have value, I can't love them, do we really love God? Those are so intimately tied together that if we disregard another person, in reality, we're also disregarding the fact that God loves us so great, we can love a person even when we have difficulty, even when we have problems, even when we don't agree. So what kind of shoes are we to put on? We put on these winkle pickers. I love that word, by the way. You can borrow it all day long. I don't care. You know, you go to your Super Bowl parties and say, look, Tom Brady have winkle pickers on? I doubt it, but, you know, you could ask that question. And then you show everyone how smart you are. Okay. Isaiah tells us what these shoes are to look like. He says they are to bear good news and glad tidings. Literally, you are to have a deep knowledge of the gospel. that Jesus came for us on a rescue mission so that we can find our way back to Jesus. Now, this sounds like a broken record, but it's truth. If you're not prepared to do that, then do we really understand the depth of what we're called to do? One of the ways which we know the gospel, you're doing it right now, you came to worship. This is where you find out. Pat yourself on the back. We're only getting 3 inches, by the way. Your tire is tread enough to get you home. Don't worry about it. The other piece is come to Sunday school. Make Sunday school a priority. Make your personal study that you do at home, your daily quiet time, make it something you do every day. That's why it's called daily quiet time. Be prepared that when someone comes with a question, you can deal with it. These are the prep moments. That's what you put on. Well, let me give you an example. Back when I was playing high school baseball, or even now playing church league softball, I wear cleats. You know why I wear cleats? It's the best thing for the fields. Best thing to be able to grab the ground. But when we first start practicing, put my cleats on, I practice. Then I come and I retie them. Because somewhere in the course of time, they may get a little loose. And I'll tell you how I know this. Because somewhere in the course of time playing softball, I may have gotten hurt. May have. Did get hurt. Okay? So those cleats have to be on really tight for me. And literally, that's me preparing. So when Paul says we're putting on the shoes of that bring peace, you all are getting ready for those situations that will come your way. The situations which you will find conflict. That's why we need to know our Bible. That's why we need to be in Sunday school. That's why we need to have the essentials of God woven through us. Now, you may come up along someone who has a deep need. First and foremost, just listen. Be there. That's the problem of the friends of Job. They gave answers before they found out the depth of his pain. That's why they got condemned at the end of the book of Job. Because they sat and said, Job, here's your problem. Here's what's wrong. Okay? Just sit there and listen. But remember, the shoes have to take you to that spot. That's why they're the shoes of peace. The other piece is, they may want scriptural answers. So that you don't have to thumb through your Bible looking for it, I've provided them for you in the back. You might have found these are different places on the internet. But if you have a person that doesn't know what comes next, you know, in terms of someone died, they want to know where they went, guide them to John 14. If they want some encouragement, and that's all on that paper, take it as you leave today. Some of it's pink, some of it's yellow. Pick them up. This allows you to be prepared. So when you walk into a situation, they don't say, oh no, here they come. They say, oh joy, they're here. Okay, this is the key here. Now the last piece. Doesn't matter what shoes you put on. The matter you put on shoes that bring the gospel. Because there are ways in this world that we can make a situation worse. During the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King Jr. understood that if there is oppression, the worst thing to do is bring more oppression. If there's violence, the worst thing to do is bring more violence. He understood that to face the oppression, you faced it God's way, which is with nonviolence, with the power of love. In fact, there's a quote that he brings, a very powerful quote. It goes like this. It's not enough to say we must not wage war. It's necessary to love peace and sacrifice for it. So for us to be ready to walk into situations that need peace, we have to sacrifice some time. Turn the TV off, read the Bible. Wake up a little earlier, come to Sunday school. Time in which we meditate, allow God to move through us, so that we can feel the depth of his calm. To be able to read the scriptures in such a way that we're looking for answers. That's the power of the way in which God brings into our lives. And that's where sacrifice comes in if we love peace. Now, putting on shoes. Remember, your responsibility. To make the necessary move that every time you enter a situation, you are ready to bring peace. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the amazing way our lives have been touched by you, for the gift of your love, the most powerful tool in our world today. Thank you for Jesus, who shows that love, how to deal with those situations of which there is conflict, how to deal with an area in which you walk in and you bring peace. Thank you for our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.